Hi, everyone. I'm Marie Biancuto. Thank you so much for joining me. Today, I'm going to talk about inborn errors of metabolism. And I want to warn you right now that when I teach this live, people usually are totally messed up when they walk in the door. And so then I sort of have to unconfuse them before I can actually teach them. So let me tell you right from the get-go where I think you're probably going to be confused. People mess up PKU with galactosemia. And those two things basically have nothing in common other than the fact that they are congenital metabolic conditions or disorders of metabolism. So I want you to get your head on straight right now. I'm going to talk about several disorders, and I will divide them up by their macronutrient. So first, I'm going to talk about disorders of protein metabolism, and then I will talk about disorders of carbohydrate metabolism. Okay, then. Hopefully, you're feeling brave and ready to go. PKU, phenylketonuria. There are actually different kinds of PKU, but I don't want to go into this too deep. If they ask you a question on the exam, they're talking about the classic PKUs. So I know that you RDs will get freaky about that because you're reading into it, but don't worry. Just, they're talking about the classic, okay? What this really means is that if the baby is born with PKU, his body is unable to break down the amino acid phenylalanine. This is something that is confirmed by blood test. You've probably seen in the hospital babies getting their heel stick and the blood kind of dripping onto that little paper where you've got to hit the little spot there. And that's how we know if a baby is born with PKU. In general, and experts differ on this a little bit, but I took the reading from Dr. Lawrence's book, she says that human milk has about 29 to 64 milligrams of phenylalanine per deciliter. Now, for optimal brain development, you want blood levels of phenylalanine lower than 10 milligrams per deciliter. In general, and this is general, partial breastfeeding is almost always the best way to go with these babies. You should understand, however, that there are consequences if the baby is not diagnosed or if he is not managed correctly. Phenylalanine is one of these things where the issue here is really not if he got, you know, 4 slurps of something. It is a matter of buildup. So the phenylalanine builds up unless the baby has optimal dietary management. And what happens when that phenylalanine builds up is that the baby becomes mentally retarded. What are the teaching implications here? All right, first of all, if I were writing a test question, I would ask a question about what the mother can eat. She needs to avoid any foods that are made with aspartame. There are literally dozens of food products that are sweetened with aspartame. And I would suggest that you familiarize yourself with some. I have given you in your syllabus a link where you can go and look at what's a huge list here. I really don't think, given the global nature of the IBLCE exam, I don't think that they're going to ask you necessarily a specific food, although I do think you need to know specific foods if you're going to be in real, honest-to-God clinical practice. But I think that probably a question would be more along the lines of something like, which of the following would the mother avoid? And it would be something like artificial sweetener would be the answer. But they wouldn't necessarily give you an exact, they would not give you an exact brand name. All right. So what are you going to do with this baby? It's going to be partial breastfeeding. And by the way, typically what they'll do with these kids is they kind of, the baby will have maybe breastfeeding and bottle feeding alternating. Make sense? Okay, maple syrup urine disease is also a congenital metabolic condition, and it is related to protein metabolism. It is that the baby cannot break down the amino acids leucine, isoleucine, and valine. And this leads up to a buildup to these chemicals in the blood. The real telltale piece with this is that the baby's urine will smell like maple syrup. And that's how it gets the name maple syrup urine disease. As far as I know, there's no other name for it, actually. Now, I just want to tell you an interesting anecdote that I always thought was interesting. I was actually teaching the review course and talking about fenugreek. And a nurse practitioner who was sitting a little bit to my left in Dallas said to me, "Well, that totally explains that kid I saw a couple of days ago." I said, "Oh, how so?" She said, "The baby's urine smelled like maple syrup, but the baby was 3 weeks old. So I didn't figure that he had maple syrup urine disease." Right. That is correct. The baby probably had his mother taking fenugreek, and the fenugreek will also give you that maple syrup urine smell. But that does not mean that the baby has maple syrup urine disease. Two different things. All right, so if the baby really does have real, honest to God, maple syrup urine disease, how are you going to confirm it? And the answer is by blood test. Now, in the United States and other industrialized countries, the diagnosis is made within a few days. In other countries, however, diagnosis actually can be delayed for like a while, like a month or so. And if such a delay occurs and the baby is being breastfed, actually, he's better off being, like from the standpoint of IQ, he's better off with the breastfeeding than he would have been with formula feeding. Why so? Because the formula actually has more of those elements in it than would the mother's human milk. Okay? So, yeah, this isn't what you really want him to have, but he'd be better off than nothing. So how exactly are you going to manage it? Well, according to the World Health Organization, infants with maple syrup urine disease must have a special formula, and that special formula must contain no leucine, no isoleucine, and no valine. So that also means no breastfeeding. Why so? Because human milk also has the leucine, the isoleucine, and the valine. But the amount that is in the human milk would actually be less than what's in the cow's milk. So basically what you've got to do is get these kids on a special formula. Now, there are other inborn errors of metabolism pertaining to protein, and I mention these not because I think you'll actually get a question on them, but because they might be good distractors, that is, wrong answers, okay? So if you get a question where it's something like homocysteineuria, that's not an issue that I think you're ever going to face or have anything to do with breastfeeding, but it might look good to you as a wrong answer. So I'm just sort of warning you about those. I find that very often when I give practice tests, people pick things that they don't know. All right, this brings us then to difficulties with carbohydrate metabolism, and this absolutely is galactosemia. With galactosemia, this is a gene defect, and the problem is that the baby cannot break down the galactose and cannot break down the galactose into glucose and lactose. All right. Typically, what happens is that, at least here in the U.S., this is diagnosed on the standard screening test. And remember that this is a lifelong condition. If the baby is diagnosed with classic galactosemia, breastfeeding is contraindicated. Again, yes, there are different kinds of galactosemia, but I'm talking about the classic galactosemia. Baby should not be breastfeeding at all. This is different than lactose intolerance. Lactose intolerance, first of all, is very, 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 very rare as a congenital ailment. Okay. Generally, lactose intolerance does not develop until somebody is at least 2 years old, usually more along the lines of 4 years old. There certainly can be lactose overload, but that is not congenital lactose intolerance. Okay, so with congenital lactose intolerance, if the baby really does have it, and if the condition is present at birth, what you'll see is the baby losing weight and failing to thrive. And most certainly, if the baby has galactosemia, he will need to be on a lactose-free formula if he is truly lactose intolerant. But again, I'm going to tell you, that's very, very few kids. I know the pediatrician diagnoses them all the time, but that's apparently because he doesn't fully understand breastfeeding. Low lactose or lactose-free formula is what the baby would get. Here in the U.S., it would be something like low-phenylac or lactofree or something like that. Okay, so it is very important that you understand the difference between what the baby is eating if he has one of these ailments as opposed to the other ailment. I think I've presented this fairly clearly, but I think you'll probably need to hear the whole thing again because usually people get really messed up with what's what. I'm Marie Biancuzzo. Thanks for listening.